Welcome to the Planning Board meeting, Wednesday, February 4th, 2026. The time is 6:30 p.m.
Okay, I would like to call the, what's today's date? February 4th, meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please rise, face the flag, and say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Judy.
Here.
Mark.
Here.
Tim, here. Brian.
Yeah.
Dave.
Here.
And Linda, not here right now. And Kevin.
Here.
Okay. So, hopefully this is not a long meeting.
Oh, goody.
Yeah.
I'm up for that.
Yeah. Well, since I was so busy, I haven't eaten dinner yet, so yes, I'm really up for a short meeting.
There's candy.
So, the first order of business is new business. It's an informational hearing. Applicant Franklin Vera Associates, 143 Raymond Road, Unit 4, Candia, New Hampshire. Owner, Burrell M. and Eric M. York, 433 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire. Property, 433 High Street, Candia, New Hampshire, lot 405, map 405, lot 75. I'm going to put some color around this before we get started. If you remember, we did an informational hearing with these folks before. It's a long, skinny, 20-acre lot. They want to provide, the son lives there now, they want to provide housing for the father. And, you know, we had recommended the easiest thing to do would be an ADU, but they want to do an actual house. And then they didn't have quite enough road frontage, so they negotiated some transfer of land from Highland Street Association. But we have found, Megan was dealing with this and brought me into the conversation, we found a few issues, one major issue. According to the zoning ordinance, and I can pull it up if anybody cares, the street frontage needs to go back 100 feet before it can neck in. They only go back 29 feet. Right. So they need to appear before. Yeah, just let me finish up. Yeah, they need to go before the ZBA, no matter what. So the purpose of this is to go through, because now we've actually got a site plan of what they want to develop. There are some jiggity jogs a little bit in the subdivision, and they just want to make sure they've got everything covered from an informational standpoint before they go to the ZBA for the road frontage variance. Anything I missed, Meg?
I don't think so.
There we go. Now we have set the stage, you can go.
Okay. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Chris Dane. I'm a licensed land surveyor working for James Vera. This is 433 High Street, as you stated. They want to subdivide it, 19-acre lot, and they want to subdivide it into two, a 5.9-acre lot here, and then the remainder lot is about 13.17 acres. Is a 25. The lot goes back 2,500 feet. I mean, it's a deep.
It's a spaghetti farm.
Yeah.
So where's your 29 feet off of High Street?
You mean up
for the 100-foot
island? Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Is the 314 feet that they have for frontage?
Correct.
Of the whole lot.
Correct.
So 214 would go to the 5 acre, the 5.9 yep. acre lot, and that would leave 100.26 feet for the remainder.
Okay.
What they had initially talked to me about was purchasing this little toe.
Right.
Right, which gives them the frontage.
That's where the 29 feet, though, goes back, correct?
Well, this represents, I looked at that again, and I pushed this back so that from here, it's 100 feet to there, and from here, it's 100 feet to there.
Okay.
So the question is, does that meet, do I still have to go for a variance?
Well, I think you should bring it up with him, but yeah, if you've got the 100 feet, that's what you need.
That's what you need, yeah.
So that's what I need.
The reason I know is I just did it myself, so.
First-hand experience.
So yeah, so that gives you the frontage then.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that would give him the frontage.
Okay. Yeah, if you've got the 100 feet back from the road, and you got the 200 feet cutting around to Highland,
all purchased now. That's all.
No. It's all. This is all
negotiation.
Because This is what this plan would be doing. Two things. It would first show the lot line division that would have to take place.
Right, you would do a lot line adjustment to get that 100 feet.
Correct, because he would purchase this.
Yeah.
So this line would break here.
Correct.
So that this is the remainder of the lot. He would have the frontage. Of course, area is not an issue. The existing house is there.
Right.
Is that a structure on the other piece there?
No, that's a pool.
Oh, a pool.
And this is a greenhouse, but all this would be is going to be removed.
Oh, removed?
Because this is where the new house would come here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, when this issue first came up with the 100 feet, I got the plans and I went, whoa, we got a bigger problem.
That's Carla Benfield's old house.
Correct.
Good.
So I'm assuming the driveway would be a shared driveway?
And yes, there would be an easement here for this lot that share the driveway.
What's the rules about shared driveways? Is it just a straightforward no problem? Just...
Gotta have an easement.
We typically grant them because it's usually a relational thing.
Yeah.
We can have a maximum of two houses on a driveway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you have two houses on a driveway, you have to have 400 feet of frontage.
Okay, which is why we're...
Which is why they're doing that.
They're nubbing that out. Right?
Doing that little nub out the side.
Right. Okay. Driveway.
But just the fact that he's got back 100 feet is a change from the last I heard, which was a couple of days ago.
Right. So what's the setback of 100 feet? Where is that?
That's what's required to guarantee you the frontage.
Like it's got to go back. Like this lot is, they're parallel. They're relatively parallel lines. These are relatively parallel lines of 100 feet back.
Okay. But that frontage has to be guaranteed for 100 feet.
Correct.
Okay.
And this is all speculative upon the Highland Street Association selling that land.
It is. It is, but they actually have an agreement already. An
agreement in place.
Kind, yeah.
It's just this would have to, of course, go through before they move through with that.
They don't want to sell it if you get denied.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
Or they don't want to buy it. Right. I'm sure Highland would sell it no matter what, but the Yorks don't want to buy it unless they...
But if they buy it, then they meet our regulations.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no problem with
bringing
that forward.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if the 100 feet... is on two roads, as long as it has frontage on a road.
Frontage on High Street, and it has to go back 100 feet at least.
Right. And even to Dave's bugaboo, this is 200 feet of contiguous. Contiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so there's no issues. He needs, of course, it's the 85 comes somewhere on the middle of the curve, technically, as far as the amount of frontage he needs. So this distance... Because of the road, because the way Highland Street comes in, is less than 85 feet. It's 76.
We kind of just did this over on Critchett and Island Pond. How they went around.
Yeah.
That's how we count it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no issues with counting the frontage.
Right.
As far as the width of the lot, it narrows a little bit from 80, from the 85 to the 76.
Right.
That's a ZBA thing, right?
No, I don't think he needs to go to the ZBA anymore. Since they've got the 100 feet, it requires that frontage
go
back 100 feet.
And it goes back 100 feet.
Okay.
Right, so that's what
getting that. So if they bring that in, all said and done, they don't need to go to the ZBA.
Okay.
They were originally at 80, 75 or 80 yards or whatever.
All right. Yeah,
75 feet.
He was trying to buy as small a bit as he could.
Right.
They're going to charge him some more for this addition.
Well, yeah.
But but for, no. As long as they get to the 100 feet from both roads, they're fine.
Okay.
Right, in terms of that. And that is new, because I was only, when we were looking at this earlier this week, that it was that shorter line and it didn't make it.
Yes. That's why Megan said I should come in here. So.
Yeah. Now, the other question I throw out there, and it was part of the reason why I thought this would be a good discussion, is we cannot create an irregular shaped lot. So you see it's got that little nub on the side and it's got that little bump out on the other side. Mm-hmm. You know, I told Megan, I said, my opinion is that's not an irregularly shaped lot.
No.
It's just a little bit, I wanted all seven of us to look at that and decide whether we determined it was an irregular shaped lot now, rather than them going through the process, getting here and us saying, yet not a no.
Yeah, it's not like a gerrymandered salamander looking thing.
That was my take, right?
Well, this is the problem with a lot of those lots that were deep but short on the frontage. I mean, it creates that problem.
Right.
Where you just, it's not hard, or it's very hard to slice it out.
Yeah.
Even
though
you've got,
that's why it was sold like that in the first place,
even
right?
Though, correct. That's why the king did what he did.
Well, and the other thing, too, is
they were all nice straight.
In order to create lots.
It's an 80 acres.
In order to create lots in New England, you're not going to get flat, straight lines, because you've got hillsides, steep slopes, water.
Correct.
This is
a pretty good piece of ground. Yeah.
So right. I just wanted to... Mm-hmm.
Two thoughts. One is that it does appear to follow where China jogs out. It's following an established rock wall. So so that kind of makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and that's the only reason why it does those funny jogs,
right.
Because we figured we'd follow what was there.
So my only other question is that there is, 1.5 acres of buildable in that property?
I'm I think it's in the notes.
Acres.
Yes, there is.
It's hard to see the notes.
Yeah. I didn't see it either, but I was informed by somebody who was looking at it on a bigger page that it was in the notes.
I'm just double-checking.
Yeah. All lots shown contain a minimum of 1.5 acres of contiguous,
non-poorly
drained soils.
Okay. I used to be able to read stuff that small.
I don't think I ever could.
No.
Well, okay.
No, I think you're golden as long as you get that piece.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. I appreciate your time.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for coming in.
They just got to have all that. Nice went for the driveway and all that stuff is fine, right?
Yeah.
If I could just intervene, I'm Joe Serpo with the owner of Everlast Construction. I'm the builder. And I just want to say Chris has done a really, really great job. The other surveyor that we had on the property there missed some things. Chris has done his due diligence and basically went over everything that they had and then some. So big kudos to him. He's done a great job.
How close is that, Chris, is that jog out to the driveway for Highlands?
I'm sorry?
That piece you're buying from the Highlands Association, how close is that to their road?
It's
right on it.
Right on it.
Right on it?
Yeah, it's right. This is
driveways
I couldn't
up there
see
for
it.
A while.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah. So this looks like the driveway, but there looks like there's a kind of setback,
road.
Right?
That's a road for
that's
Highlands.
The road.
Oh, that is the road?
This is the pavement.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's the edge of
that. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, you should be good.
Yeah, that was the purpose of this, was just so you guys didn't have to, you know, run around multiple times. We just wanted to
get the deal done, and you should be good.
Oh, and that's great.
Yeah, his son has been there for a while, and his mother passed away a couple of years ago. He had a house in Northampton. Now wants to move in with his son and be close to his son. So that's
nice.
He wants his own space. So.
Yeah.
I would encourage that behavior.
So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks for coming.
See, and I just moved back to my phone.
I wish I could type as fast as she does. It.
Well, technically, he moved in next to you, right?
Correct.
I'm still the plucker.
So yeah, literally, I wanted all of us to look at that and see if we missed anything.
That's
major.
Great. I like the fact that we're able to accommodate land townspeople that are trying
to achieve
something.
Need this one in front. This one
for the betterment of their family.
Yep,
absolutely.
Me too.
There's one. Hi, Linda.
You're in time for adjournment.
Thank you.
You should. Thank you.
Yeah.
You missed
no,
all that.
We're moving along, though. Oh, okay.
That's it. So. Just let the record show that Linda Carroll has arrived.
Right. Elvis left the building, and now Linda's here.
Or one of my favorite ZZ Top songs, Jesus has just left Chicago, and he's bound for New Orleans.
I didn't know that one, but, you know, ZZ Top is not mine.
Good one. Now it's a solo, though. It's a solo act, no?
Yeah, Billy Gibbons, the red book, huh? Anyway, so let's go down into the other business where we're going to spend the majority of our time tonight. And again, I don't plan on this being a very long meeting. But we got the solid waste impact fee
draft
from Nate. And we got really busy and haven't had a chance to look at it. I don't think we need to go through all the methodology and the like, because I think we know we can trust Mr. Miller's methodology. So, I guess I'm looking at page 4.
I'm trying to figure out. I still have the old draft, and I say, wow, this is way thicker. This is double-sided. They're both 9 pages.
Okay, good.
Okay. So, I didn't get a chance to review this before the meeting because, again, I was just crazy all day. But, I think the key part here is, looks like Schedule E on page 4. So we are... You know, it's single family detached is 0.26, 2.6 is the number of people, and 933. A duplex is 2.1 at 759. Multifamily is 620, and manufactured housing is 720.
Why would a multifamily be less than a single family?
Because according to the averages, you know, he's got a multifamily but that's multifamily per unit.
Oh, okay. So per unit.
Per unit. There's only 1.7 people.
Yeah, so you were saying.
So the duplex
three
is the same thing as per unit.
Right.
Okay. Oh, there it is. Per dwelling unit.
Good. So if you put in, five multifamily units, you're gonna be paying
$1,700.
No more than that. And 5 times 6, 100.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking per person.
So sort of looking at this, obviously first time, I apologize. There's not a lot that we really have input in, other than maybe what this, what he did eventually, initially in trying to come up with these numbers to the selectmen, saying how much did we spend on the transfer utility, the transfer station and stuff, but it's sort of just all calculated, and there's hate.
Right. I mean, he uses Southern New Hampshire, and he averages it all out based on population and everything. So yeah, there's a lot of calculations that go into it, but that's
so
what he did.
I mean, it's not like I can say. I want to drop this down to $1, right?
I mean, the thing is that you're allowed to set impact fees, okay? But we have to do it in a with justification,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right. So let's just say it was $620 for a multifamily house. If we could do, so he's created the math that makes this justified, where nobody can say that's unfair, go to court and win, right? But if we don't want to do 620, if we want to do 500,
right,
we're certainly able to carve it back from this. If we go above this, we're open to litigation if someone decides they want to try and...
All right, thank you.
Okay, so that's kind of and Nate... Nate is, you've met him, right? He's this, brain.
Yeah.
Who's very...
He's a dorky, but... Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's wired for this.
Well, I'm not... This is the justification for why we're... Or what, how much we are charging for an impact
fee. I'm not a huge fan of impact fees, to begin with. but I understand the logic behind it. Mm-hmm. That, you know, down the road, it does help out because mm-hmm. yeah. these are expenses that we all share with our tax bill.
Yep.
And the whole methodology of this is, as new ones come in here, there is an impact, mm-hmm. you know, to all of our facilities.
Right.
So.
Right, your facilities have to grow a little bit to absorb the right. impact, yeah. so that
that's where that money is, costs. So to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In the grand scheme of things, it's not big money.
It's not huge money, but I mean, I just went through it, and, you know, it is an
up.
Addition to all the other permitting and whatnot, so yeah. it isn't cheap yeah. to build a house anymore.
Because right now, I think we're at like $2,100 in terms of impact fees, something in that range, between road and emergency services.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So this is going to bring us up into the upper 2,000s.
So that's an interesting thing that you just said. I didn't realize that you would be charged.
Every house.
Oh, yeah, every house. Every
I thought you're like a development, definitely, but I didn't realize that.
Oh, no.
Oh, I have 5 acres. I'm going to build a house on it and whack. No.
Every yeah. house. Building permits and okay. all the impact fees. So
thank you.
But we did talk about if somebody levels a house and builds it in the same location.
No impact.
There isn't an impact.
Because it's already been incurred, kind of, right?
Yeah, like Ryan's case. Ryan's place. Right.
Yep. Even if it's been abandoned.
Right.
Oh,
really? Right? Yeah. Because it's a house. Even if nobody's lived there for 2 or 3 years, we have no way of differentiating that.
Now, how do we get ADUs in there? Because that's now an impact fee, too.
Now, that's in the other ones, but you're right. I mean, I think that's something we can maybe throw back at
him. I will be addressing
that
later.
I think it's addressed when they pull the permit to do it. Because it is another dwelling unit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's triggered once they pull a permit.
Triggered for how much, though?
Based on the
page,
basic...
Page 8 near the top.
Page 8, okay.
Applying the per square footage fee to living area is graded by ADU.
Yeah,
okay.
There we go. Yeah.
I knew we had it in the other ones. I didn't look at it here. Yeah.
Good. All right.
You know, yeah.
See, so it's another $933.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's the same as the dwelling.
It's 48 cents. Per square foot.
Yeah.
So if you have an 850 times 48 feet, it's
$400.
Yeah. $408.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, Linda, because I didn't look to see that, but I kind of figured it would be in there because he did it on the
very
other
thorough.
I haven't read this yet. I remember the yellow one,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't see it in this one.
And in this one, I noticed the commercial and industrial is not listed on here like it is in the other impact fees. Well, that's because they're all going to be dumpsters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, when I saw it the first time, I'm like, oh, there's not any. Oh, yeah, because that's all going to be dumpster, which doesn't impact solid waste. And, like, probably, like, the school one, when that comes, when he brings that one in, that won't be commercial and industrial either because they have no impact on the school.
Now, what about the 55 plus? Is that in here?
Wouldn't matter. It's the same. It's going to be the same. It's going to be the same thing.
Yeah, still a dwelling.
Still a dwelling. So they're going to pay for 2.6 residents even though they're only going to have two.
All right.
Yep.
Well, they could have more than 2.2.
Yeah,
but,
saying, but
less
most of them
likely.
Are be.
Right. I completely agree. But would, so, like...
There's a lot of half a kids around.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of curious, because, like...
I got one kid that's kind of half a kid, but we don't need to go there.
23 Main Street would...
Right.
Is that not a multifamily, so wouldn't that be 1.75?
Yeah, that would be...
Or a duplex.
Well,
they're
per unit.
No, it's... Yeah, but it would
be
charged per unit, but that would be multifamily, because there's more than two units.
It's
yeah.
one,
but,
yeah, it's one large building, so
yeah.
it'd be multifamily.
Yeah. Yep. But still, that's going to be a decent amount of impact.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I'm not. It just,
that's just
clarification.
That
yeah.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Roads and everything else.
Yeah. But this wouldn't apply, because we wouldn't have enacted it before he pulled the permits.
Right.
On that one.
But
it will apply
be at the
over High Street.
Right.
And those are always single families.
Right.
Those are not
yeah.
multi.
Yeah.
48. Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. So, yeah, I mean, I agree
okay.
with Brian. We're, you know, we're tacking on the price of building a house.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
What's a rough number for public safety highway combined?
I think the whole thing, this is like six, I think it was like 2,100 the other two combined. So this would be like 3,000 now.
So out of curiosity, I'm sorry, one other question. So this, let's say $6,000 that a developer pays to us, right, to the town. Does that have to be put into account specifically for the transfer, or does that get put in general?
It has to go, I believe, towards what the impact was.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
And we used to have it. So we used to have a we had a road impact fee before. And the verbiage got changed a few years back, but it used to be that that impact fee had to be spent in that quadrant of the town for the roads.
Right.
So if somebody.
So it has to reflect where the impact was charged for.
Yeah, that's right. No longer.
Pretty
that's
specific. No longer. I think that one got changed, though.
Yeah. That'd be tough with Logan's, you know, 48 units. Mm-hmm. It's a state road, and in that region, there is almost no other roads, right? Like,
yeah,
Baker. We have to pay Baker to use the money.
Oh no, well, no, that's yeah. But right? See, I think
that's a six.
Listen, I'm just saying, guys.
Classic.
If anybody asks, a lot of those people are going to be going down Chester Turnpike and South Road. A lot of them.
That's true.
It does eventually impact our roads.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't get anywhere without going on some of our roads.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, we don't distinguish that, oh, it's on a state road.
Yep. South Road, Healy Road, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, which I'm okay with. But, yeah, I feel like we're, you know, I was originally thinking that we would try to increase these every year based on cost of living, but now that we're at 3,000 and we're going to add school on top
of it. Yeah, I don't think we want to go cuckoo.
I don't think we want to keep kicking this thing up every year. Let's wait a few years and take another look at it, because... Right. You know, I think if we try to charge somebody $5,000 to build a house for impact fees, that seems a bit excessive.
Well, $5,000 and you're building a $600,000 house.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
They're not $5,600 anymore.
Oh, right, they're more like
$7,800.
Yeah. Well, I probably went $200,000 over my budget.
Yeah. No, I talk about the people that I know whose house burned down on Merrill. And they built a 1,200-square-foot ranch with a one-car garage, and they owned the land. The land was cleared, and they did have to put a new foundation in, but still it was $600,000 to build a 1,200-square-foot ranch.
Very small plate, very nice, but very small.
Yeah. Wow.
And that was a year or two ago.
Yeah, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now it'll be more.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just saying we're going to kind of get into that next, right? That's the whole problem with saying we need
all right, so what do you need on this? You need an okay?
I need a motion.
Let's go.
I need a motion.
To accept?
I'll reluctantly make a motion to accept the...
Well, Brian with the
second.
Mark with a second. Okay, Judy.
Yes.
Mark.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Here we go. All right. So, I'm going to use my tablet because I highlighted a bunch of stuff. I don't know if anybody read this or not.
I'll be honest with you, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I scanned it.
I scanned it. That's pretty close to reading all of it. You scan. Yeah.
So I'll
read the first two sentences.
Did you?
You that's just it? About done.
I thought you'd do that and you read the end of it and then you get a pretty good.
So I highlighted some stuff on my tablet here. So I'm going to run off the tablet. And yeah, I'll be honest, I didn't get out of work till like 5:30 and said, oh, crap.
I'll be so glad when you retire finally.
Oh, man.
So I don't have to hear that all
the time. March 31st, baby.
Doesn't matter. I'm retired. I'm busy every day.
Yeah, but that's a different business.
Yeah, I actually told my boss, you can't extend it past March 31st. That's it. That's a hard stop. I'm done. So in reading this, this was done by Southern New Hampshire Planning. We have not gotten a review by Stantec, even though they signed an agreement to do so, to review our ordinances and stuff. And I think we're going to have to move that to Keach at some point here in the near future. In reading this, and again, I like got the format of what he was doing things, so I knew which sections, which parts to read. In reading this, this is all about, his comments are mostly about Candia opening ourselves up to more development on smaller lots and more cluster housing, multifamily housing, and that type of thing. So when we talk about this stuff, just know that that's where he's going, which some of the things that he pointed out, I'm like, that's actually a good thing. You know, so I think we just have to take this from where it's coming from, what Southern New Hampshire Planning's goal is here, which is to parrot Concord saying we need more housing and you guys should build a lot more houses. So one of his main concerns, a recurring theme, is that we give a lot of subjective criteria for both us and the ZBA to review, rather than hard empirical, you know, like this is okay, this is not okay. I understand where he's coming from, and it has merit, but my problem with that is by being a little more vague and allowing us more subjective reviewing capability, it allows us as a town to decide what kind of development we want, rather than being bound by, boy, they came in and they checked all the boxes, and we have to say yes.
Didn't see that one coming. Like one of those things.
Yeah, right. You know. You know, coming kind of like if we just look at, you know, Logan's development there, which we did approve. We really didn't have a choice because he checked all the damn boxes, and it was on a state road, so we couldn't even look at traffic. So, you know, I don't have a problem with a certain amount of subjectiveness in our regulations, giving us more ability to say, yeah, you know, you can't look like that. We can't do that, you know, because that's just not what we want.
I think one of the big arguments we always have is blocking the view, right? Is it a tree? Is it a fence? Is it this? And I know we've talked about, like, it would be great if it was this is it, but I like the flexibility because not everything fits, right? Like, trees might not be the best thing. A fence might be the best thing, especially in an industrial area. But so I agree.
And, you know, like, a hedgerow might be the right thing someplace else, but if there's natural vegetation, we want the
less disturbed is better.
Right. We want the ability to say that's what we want.
Yeah, keep it.
Right. Rather than it must be screened by, you know, 20 feet high arborvitaes and right?
Deer fencing and
yeah. Yeah, you know. Even like we did with the solar fields. It's like, you know, a fence may be required, but it should fit in if it is, because we may not want a fence, or if we do want a fence, we're going to want to say, yeah, no, you can't do that fence.
Especially when you can't see the panels, and you could probably see the fence.
Right. What's worse, panels or right. A big, exactly. You know, 20-foot high yeah. Chain link fence of you know, zinc-coated metal, right? And I think those are...
Well, we've always said each development or each lot, potentially, it's totally different from the one previous. Well, I mean, you need to be able to look right. At each
leave it
case.
In the gray, because when you were a kid, the majority of the candy was more fields.
Yeah.
You didn't have all the forests.
Right. Yeah. And that was back before they invented chainsaws, right? Yeah.
Well, they'd take a beaver out and they'd just let it run.
Fred Flintstone.
Yeah.
I think it was, what, about 150 years or more ago, it was 80% of candy was fields.
Fields.
Yep. Yeah.
20% was wooded. Look at some of the old pitches. It's hard to even figure out where it is.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. In the early 1800s, it was most of New England was pretty much clear cut.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, it was all farming. They had to survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
There were no
White Mountain National Forest was founded because the whole White Mountains was deforested.
Yeah. And then you had the floods in Manchester and the old mills. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't take away the ground cover.
Right. Hurricane of 38 and 52.
So he does point out one thing under off-street parking on page 10.
That's the first thing that really points out?
As far as I'm concerned, you guys can read it yourself if you want.
Do you even have page numbers?
No, we don't.
I'll read it by proxy.
Off-street parking.
Yeah, I see that.
So it's about halfway through.
Okay. Yeah.
I see it.
It's on the left.
One thing he points out, which I did know, is that a new RSA was passed this year that prohibits a town from requiring more than one parking space per house, per residential unit. We require two. Now, the other interesting thing is that decrease to one unit, one parking space per residential unit, was decreasing it from a state maximum of 1.5 parking spaces per unit. So we've been out of compliance, I don't know for how long, but for a while. My take is, I want to keep that in the ordinances, even though it's not enforceable, just so the developers know that's what we expect.
Many of our roads are very, especially during snow time, very narrow.
Yeah, we have an issue in my neighborhood, someone parks on the street during snowstorms.
Hey, really?
Yeah.
They must not be from a town originally then.
No one's from town originally anymore. Yeah. So, but yeah, they park.
Whoa, a few of us.
A few, yeah. They're out in the street all the time. The plow truck has trouble getting by. Yeah. And I am quite mad at the state for taking that away because there's a reason why.
So again, my take is I want to keep it too in the ordinances because I want developers to know that's what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if they push comes to shove, we'll have to say, okay, one, but because we know that the state maximum is
one. And a half.
They dropped it to one this year.
Oh, they did?
Dropped it to one.
I don't think anyone developing in Candia is going to be developing something that has one parking spot.
I would completely agree with
you. I think it's more for cities where it's like you got to shoehorn things in.
Right.
And there's not enough room for two cars parking.
Right.
But for us, I think no developer would do it less than that anyway.
I completely agree. So I don't see it as an
55,
issue.
They possibly would, but then they're private roads, so.
Yeah.
The only thing is like in my case, the town will have to come up with an ordinance, right, saying it's no emergencies,
exactly.
No.
Right.
What street's that?
Pirates Drive.
What is it?
Pine Ridge Drive.
Oh, Pine Ridge.
Yeah. I think there's another house on Crowley. I've heard that someone parks out in the street all the time.
And, really?
Yeah. So, but anyway.
That's so inconsiderate.
Yeah. Hey, crazy. But anyway.
Well, I'll clean it up for this meeting, but when we were talking about the lighting ordinance, I said to Megan, I said, really, I wish we didn't have to do the lighting trespass ordinance and stuff. I wish we could just create an ordinance that says, no resident of Candia shall be a butthole.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
You'd have to define it.
It's pretty easy to define.
Think of your neighbors.
Is that newly moved in or lifelong?
It don't matter. It don't matter. But as Megan said in response, you know, a lot of people would have to move out.
It's
good.
Poor Megan.
We don't see that in the notes for the meeting notes.
Yeah, you can
delete that for the minutes. But anyway, so I don't plan on, even though that's his recommendation and that's the law, I don't plan on, you know. Now, the one thing he did say, and we'll just discuss it briefly, is, you know, that the ordinance does not distinguish between housing types or unit size or number of bedrooms and location to services. Just want to go through these things. Mm-hmm. So we got a response. My take is no, and I don't think we necessarily should. I mean, we don't have location to services. We're not doing, you know, one-bedroom condos. We're not looking to do any of those types of things that were one parking space or different parking requirements. We don't want to do no parking spaces. We have to park on the street. So, again,
leave it as is.
leave it as is. That's not.
The other thing is that we, like you just pointed out, you need a vehicle. There's nothing in Canada you can reach by walking, right?
Right.
Well, you have to have vehicles.
Yeah.
And so the one vehicle thing is
Did our ADU regulation to have a parking requirement?
Yes.
For one car or
one?
One additional, isn't
one additional on top of whatever the house required, yeah. You know, or, you know, so basically, but we, I can't remember the exact wording, but yeah, it said, you know, the housing requirements two. If you built an ADU, you would need an extra one. But if you already had four, you didn't need to add one, right? That was the minimum required. Yeah, there's another quantitative thresholds for special exceptions, quantitative thresholds for maximum unit counts, density limits, measurable measurable capability standards. As a result, special exception reviews are you know done on a case by case basis. Mm-hmm. Which again, I'm really kind of okay with. That's special exceptions. That's on like mm-hmm. the next page from where we were. I'm kind of okay with that. I mean, I think a special exception is a special exception and should be weighed on its individual merits rather than check these boxes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's the function of this? To tell us how we're doing? And
yeah,
this places is, we should make improvements of?
This is part of the HOP grant. And again, it's housing opportunity, right? So it's a way to generate more houses and more living places for people. This isn't the kind of thing I was hoping to get out of it. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the kinds of things we need to start thinking about, and we need to get that subcommittee of residents built back up again to do this type of thing. So that's where this comes from. And these are just recommendations that they've given us. We are under no obligation and will not be looked upon unkindly if we implement none of them.
So does somebody make a motion to accept this for advisement or like what do we do with this?
There's no motion.
Okay.
This is just...
informational only.
Informational only, a general discussion because this... things we talk about may frame what we do this coming year for changes. So that's all you know, this is kind of about.
Now, does Nate take a look at our community compared to other communities that are rural like this, or is it compared with cities and bigger towns when he's talking about...
No, it's usually population-driven when he works on something like this.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So there are the communities that
correct.
Are in this population.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Or close to.
Very
yeah.
close
yeah.
to.
Yes, yeah, so he wouldn't be looking at us in the same light as Manchester.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or even Raymond.
This was to bring, these are suggestions to bring our regulations and ordinances for be a little more friendlier towards housing. Affordable
right.
housing.
Right. Now,
so on that, can affordable? I bring up something?
Well, yes.
Kind of sort of pause. I just wanted to know what the rest of the board's feeling is on reinstituting cluster developments.
Can you explain it?
Funny.
Highlands is the only cluster development we have in town.
Highlands being a mobile park?
No. Houses. Right down, right next to the place where you're just looking at
oh,
this
okay.
development.
It's next street
yes,
down
I,
from
I've
Jane
never
Drive.
Seen it. I've
that's,
never gone down it.
That, yeah. yeah. That's,
now,
that's,
why is it considered cluster housing?
That's what the ordinance was at the time, and then there was a petition warrant article to get rid of cluster development. Yes. And the only reason I bring it up is because it's sort of like 55,
yeah,
you know, workforce housing almost, except the lots are bigger. They're probably an acre and a half, somewhere in there,
okay.
each of those houses.
And
the
and
only
then
reason
open land on top of it, right?
But then you always have a high percentage of open land. And that's the part of it that I like. Like, I think there's
right,
60 acres
this
behind
is
that
don't go beyond
that's
okay.
open land anybody
open
can
land.
Use.
Okay.
So it saves property and gets the housing, you know,
a little
more clustered together.
It makes it more attractive for development because
it's cheaper.
For development.
Yep. It's cheaper.
Road-wise,
it's cheaper.
But
personally, I would never live in something like that.
That's what I
like
came
property.
From, but I wouldn't want to do it again.
But I'm just saying it is
yeah.
more attractive if it's a little cheaper than we are looking
yeah.
at affordable housing to some degree.
Yeah, because a 3-acre lot is
couple hundred K. Like,
yeah, it depends. You're 150 to 200,000 all day long.
So if I know that there will be vehement pushback in town against that without question.
But I don't know. The environment might have changed because that was probably 15 years ago where it got thrown out. So I don't know. Just a thought. Like I say, I'm not huge in favor of myself living in something like that, but I can see the positive effect of it.
I can see that positive effect, too. Yeah. I mean, especially if you've got that open space.
Right. That's the part I really like, is they are preserving open
space. That'll put New Boston right back on the map.
What's that?
That'll put New Boston right back on the map, right? Unless it's...
The other thing, you know, you look at, like, Mayhew Drive with that Ronnie and them did, Severino's. Yes. Now, that's a nice development. You go up in there, there's some nice space.
But those are three-acre lots, though.
Three-acre lots.
Or better.
Yeah. You go up into Highland, try backing into one of them driveways.
Yeah, but it's a private road, so I wouldn't get
it. It was a poor design.
I'll be honest. So, what Mark said, I've driven down there doing town reports.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it's awful. You know, even with just a pickup truck, it was awful.
Yeah.
That's just a design thing, but I think
the
cluster thing is probably a decent enough idea. I think one of the biggest things that the town people had were upset about was they're going to get charged half the taxes at a regular house, and I don't think that happened.
No, that didn't.
I think they just got taxed as much basically.
Absolutely.
With only an acre.
Because what people don't realize, well, you got 3 acres or an acre and a half, the impact to putting a house on it is the same.
Yeah.
It doesn't change just because you got a little more lawn.
Due to the price on the ones being built right there, the taxes on those are going to be enormous.
Yeah.
Because up here, when we had the first set in the tax rate for those up here, that was brought up. But it was determined that this is what it costs to put a house on a piece of dirt.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's an acre or 3 acres.
So here, the big advantage cluster housing in terms of being able to produce more affordable housing, right, is the houses are now closer together. So the infrastructure costs of power and road and all that stuff are much smaller, right? It dramatically reduces the cost.
That road is probably shortened up half of what it would have been if they were 3 acre lots.
Correct, and it prevents the entire town
and
from being houses.
$500-$600 a foot. That's
then
a lot of money.
Suburb.
Right. So you allow a house on an acre, or half an acre, right? And that's all the lot they get. But the remaining 2.5 acres or 2 acres is now preserved as open land. Owned by the association, but it's preserved as open land. So it has, and you know, in my idea, this is one of the things that we could do if the town would approve of it, that could allow us to have somewhat more affordable housing. You raised your hand as if to say stop, but
he wants to speak.
I need the clarification. To me, I got elected to basically be a proxy voter for the people that elected me. And understand what their desires are for the town. I'm pretty sure that no one I talked to is going to love that idea, right? So at what point do we say, I'm being faithful to the people that elected me to be their proxy versus what we think is perhaps in the growth benefit for the town? And I'm trying to weigh that. Like, if, for instance, there was a hypothetical project going in somewhere on the Chester side of town that I just didn't like it, can I say I'm voting against it because I don't think the people in town want it? Or is that not okay?
No,
it
should not be. Because the other part of what you were elected to do was plan for the town. And just because this group of people that supported you have a vision, that doesn't stop you from having a greater vision of what is good for the town and presenting it. You don't have to die on the sword, but I mean...
Right, and you know...
At this point...
Planning is part of our job.
The thing I want to say...
It's Kevin, almost in the title.
Yeah. Well, but the thing I want to say about that, because I mean, I'm not sitting here being like, ooh, I love the idea of cluster developments, right? But there's a conundrum we have in representing what the townspeople want.
according to the survey in the first part of HOP, they all want to preserve the character of the town, right? They don't want houses built everywhere, okay? Yes, absolutely. So the cluster housing, they don't want that. But also one of their top things was they wanted more affordable housing for younger families to move into town. Those are opposite. In today's world of building costs, those two priorities of theirs are 180 degrees opposing each other.
Mm-hmm. But we have four pieces of property that we can do that on. And we can be a little more forward-thinking instead of saying we're going to put trailers on them, go to the stick homes, smaller houses, smaller lots, because there's four pieces of property that are already, this was way back when Stubby was here. Mm. You know, you got one off of Langford.
But that's
Old
purchased.
Deerfield.
Yeah, that's purchased.
Right.
Right, Old Deerfield Road. And you got the two up here at the Manchester Manor. Well, I call it Manchester Manor. That's who owns it, yeah. Right? They got both sides of the road down there. So that, to me, that's what you want to put in some affordable housing and stuff instead of saying, okay, you can put in just trailers. Why, you know, we should be forward-thinking enough to say, why don't you put in small homes and make a nice little development in it? Mm-hmm.
And I agree that's something else. Since let's kind of kick this thing to the side and let's talk this stuff because this is more important. But the cluster development was one of his things that he talked about in this report, and I had it highlighted to talk about. But there's two other approaches too that we should talk about and think about, right? One is, as you said, you know, smaller homes, not necessarily tiny homes, but smaller homes, right? And doing something to promote those in specific areas or regions of the town on smaller lots, right? The other one is, and it has a bad name, but it has changed over the past 10, 15 years. And that's pre-manufactured housing.
Yeah.
Right? Pre-manufactured housing used to mean a double wide that they rolled in on a trailer.
Mm-hmm. Now they make it in a factory.
Yeah, but now it's like the old Sears and Roebuck homes, right?
They come on a trailer and they pop it up in a day.
Yeah, and they got like, you know, okay, here's the two halves of the first floor, the two halves of the second floor, we pop them together. Here's the roof, you know, the two sides of the roof, we pop it on, and it's a real house.
Yeah. Friends of ours had a split. Looked exactly like a stick built.
Just built in a warehouse first.
It's just a lot less expensive to have in a factory setting where, okay, they got this production run of we need to cut 55 2x4s to this length. Yeah. Zing, 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 zing. Pop, 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 right? So it's manufactured housing, but it's not people's impression of what that word means anymore. You know?
Right, because they're putting them on foundations now.
Right.
They have cellars under them.
It's a house. Yeah. It's just made in a factory. It's just not made on site. But these things all are going to require education, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, again, I think we need to reconstitute some kind of
community. Bring a factory rep in or something.
Not a bad idea. Bring up some slides.
But that's what I was getting at with those four pieces of property. They're already approved plans for trailer parks. Mm-hmm. How much harder would it be instead of putting a trailer on it, do manufactured housing or do something
modular.
Like that?
Are they called modular homes?
It's manufactured,
manufactured, okay. Modular is what?
Modular is like a double
wide. I agree, because there's very few attractive trailer parks.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
There's a few, but very few.
Very few.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those pieces of property would probably be more beneficial, especially the one over here by the school, with a nice manufactured home down through there. You could have a nice little development, and you'd have younger families move through.
Those tiny
build some
home
equity, and then when they get ready to buy a house in Canada, they can sell that, and then afford a house.
And the tiny homes, like in the Dover thing, are awesome, too.
But I think if we're talking about what Mark's talking about, taking some of the mobile home zoned areas,
mm-hmm.
right, certainly, you know, tiny homes could fit into that district without being a...
And they're built well and efficient and energy and affordable, and it's people like firemen and teachers and nurses that are living in them
It's awesome. I got to see them over and over.
Yeah. And these properties are already, they already have plans.
Mm-hmm.
They've already come to the planning board. It's all approved.
They look great. And it's great for the starter home, the new family. You want to be close. You want to say, I'm walking two houses down to play with Jane, Dick and Jane, you know?
Yeah.
And so the close cluster, whatever, is a good thing. Instead of trying to walk on High Street or North Road and Merrill and,
So these are all great ideas because, you know, as we blushed on in the beginning of this, to try and to think that we can, with our current zoning, meet the affordable housing that the residents want. It's not possible.
It wouldn't happen on 3 acre lots.
Absolutely not possible. So we need to talk more about this, and we need to figure out a way to reach out to the community to get them involved and get them educated, because if we don't, it's going to go down in smoke, just like the Village District.
Well, I like Brian's idea about bringing somebody to talk about it. If somebody came from the Dover place or manufactured homes and said, this is what it looks like, this is an area or a neighborhood that's been built.
This is how it's constructed, this is what the end result is.
I mean, get rid of the old ideas and show them what's happening
now. And again, I mean, I wish we could do the community outreach, but I don't think any of us want to go stand out all day on a Saturday afternoon at the farmer's market.
No.
That would not
be effective.
Preach
about this? No.
Yeah, right. I'm just saying. So we need
to get there to buy hot dogs and kettle corn and drink beer, so.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that crap.
And get a good breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, or a good breakfast sandwich. Yeah.
What it means
or gluten-free cookies.
Whoever owns these properties now, to come in and bring that idea to us.
Yeah.
And then you can bring it to the ZBA and get the townspeople involved that way.
Yeah, but again, I think, you know, I want to show to the town that we're trying to respond to these types of things, you know.
Because we're maxed out now on 55s.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And that was one step of affordable housing, but not that they're
not
really
affordable.
Not really.
Honestly, I would rather have, quite honestly, I would rather have, you know, some manufactured housing and some small homes and cluster development than workforce housing, which is the only other type development that we offer. Workforce housing to me is not a good alternative for this town.
It
has a bad connotation.
Well,
I mean,
but affordable.
So does Trailer Park.
Yeah,
right. Exactly.
But
same
still,
idea,
but
it's well learned.
Tiny homes and modular homes are workforce housing.
They are.
They are.
Right.
Workforce or affordable.
Affordable.
It's for the people that are working
in. Like affordable
rather
than workforce.
I know. Yeah.
I mean, if you had a good developer and they came in, like say over here on Deerfield Road, it's 80 acres.
Yeah.
And they came in and divided it up and said, okay, eighth acre lot or whatever to put 600-700 square foot house there as a starter home, right, for a family. And then, you know, like I said, earn your equity, sell it, then you could probably afford to buy a house.
But the problem is there's no mechanism right now to allow that.
Yeah. Right.
That would get blown out of the water. And that's exactly what I think we need to find a way to get to the town and talk about, right? And maybe, you know what? Maybe having some guest speakers come in for one of our meetings or something might not be a...
I think it'd be great.
And advertise it on the Facebook page.
Right.
Yeah, advertise it. Then, you know, come on in and get a lecture on...
Bring your pitchforks.
Yeah.
Bring your torches.
Well, I didn't want to capitalize the whole discussion, but I just wanted to...
No, but actually...
No, it's a good idea.
You veered us into the area that I really kind of wanted to talk about anyway, rather than all these procedural little...
This here is fun.
The thing is, the workforce housing nomenclature opens up an avenue for development just like the elderly housing did. It gives you certain parameters that are different than your standard practices.
Yeah, pretty much mirrors the 55. Yeah.
Right. So if we say we don't like workforce housing, we'd rather have it be affordable housing, it kind of screws the deal for the developer. He's got to fill out the block that says workforce housing
because
to take advantage of the change in
Oh, you can put it in parentheses. Affordable.
Because the state required that if you allowed 55 plus housing, you had to allow workforce housing. So we were kind of, hands were tied. We had to.
So there is a lot.
What makes it work? Workforce housing. There's income
limits.
Yeah.
So, but
the house itself.
No, but it doesn't. No, these aren't workforce housing. Is not going to be houses. It's going to be apartments.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
No. It's okay. Like, so there's also low income housing, right? So
this is a step below.
Is step below workforce, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I just wonder.
I don't think that would get any gas.
No, that would get no gas.
So back to something Kevin said, I just wanted to say that, yeah, you know, the cluster housing probably will go nowhere. And I think part of this is that we have to give options like the lighting thing to the people. They don't want it. That's the way it is. But if they want it, then okay. And we either educate them and explain why and sell it, or we don't. And but that's part of the whole planning thing, right? It's just not everything we say or do is liked by everybody. Like, even we don't all agree on the same thing all the time,
right?
So but we're just trying to make the town better, and so
can our ideas be passed on to that the HOP grant subcommittee that we have that's looking into that.
It hasn't functioned for like 2 years because we haven't had anything for them to
right.
do. But I think it might be good to try and reconstitute that and have this discussion with them.
Right.
Throw them options out to them.
Explain the options and say, all right, you know,
let's get feedback.
Let's strategize together how we get community feedback, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if we'll be able to reconvene the same people because I think they got very frustrated and they said we worked really, really hard and nothing came out of it. So,
and this has been almost 2 years now, and that's all we got.
Yeah. Okay.
Good thing it was grant money and not out of our pocket.
Right. You know, and I tried to drive it and I was getting nowhere, and then we've gotten busy and I'm just like, we'll get out of it, we can get out of it.
Well, I think it was the facilitator that really hindered it at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one thing I do want to get out of it, and Stantec dropped the ball on that, but I'm going to kick that to Keach, is I want the town engineer with the HOP money to go through our ordinances and regulations and just find the stupid stuff and the stuff where, oh, it says this here and it says that there, mm-hmm. and, you know, this you could change to just being like that, because
that's more useful for us.
No one's ever holistically gone through all of these pages and looked at it that way. And I think if that's all we get out of the HOP grant, I'm good
We'd
with it.
We'd be further ahead.
You know?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I agree. That would be awesome. Right.
good discussion. One of the other things that I did mention was the village district, that we should propose that again.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know about you.
Nah.
I think it's a good idea, but I think that's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, that's going to get slammed right in our face.
Yeah, and then he had a bunch of other stuff like transfer of development rights, so a big landowner could transfer development rights to a smaller landowner so that the smaller landowner could build more houses.
Oh, yeah, right here.
Yeah. So I'm sitting there going, last page.
What does that mean? It doesn't sound good.
Well, basically, let's just say you had 100 acres of unbuildable land.
Right? Let's use New Boston Road as an example. You had land on the other side of the river, and say there was a guy developing over there, a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
He could give his rights to develop that to him to put more housing.
Right, or let's just say like Diamond Hill, right? The back end that really wasn't developable. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 30 acres. As I understood that thing, he could say, well, you can build 10 houses. I've got development rights for 10 houses. I will sell you those development rights. Now this is undevelopable land, but now you've got the development rights for 10 houses that you can put on your, you know, 40-acre right. property.
It's kind of like the utilities used to do with the carbon credits,
no.
right?
No. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So basically, it kind of takes out all the open space potential of properties to.
Yeah. And the one thing you would do, right, is it would that whatever acreage sold their development rights to some other property, that would be held now in open space, but you could then have like really high density development on the guy that bought the development rights from that other property. I've read that thing and I'm just like, whoa, no.
Because you could have a bunch of swamp land. Oh, yeah, I got development rights, so now you give you your credits for over here.
Oh, boy.
You know that would happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I read that and I'm like, yeah, whoever thought this up.
They were doing some shuck and jive.
I am good with that.
So we're moving right along.
Good. Yeah, no, that was basically the discussion I really wanted to have, right? No, was just bantering about ideas.
Well, you're welcome.
Town planning. So thank you, Kevin. So, John Adams could not make it tonight. He called me, and I realized we had totally forgotten about him, so I put him on the agenda, and then I called him back, and the reason he called me was he wasn't going to be here tonight. He'll come next meeting.
Okay. But
we've all met him, and we got to do the dance. Okay, approval of meeting minutes.
They look good to me.
They look good to me.
Motion.
Go ahead.
I'll make the motion to accept as presented.
Second.
We'll just do a voice vote. All is in favor?
Aye.
All is opposed? Good. Any other matter before the board?
Yes.
Oh, actually, before you jump in.
Okay.
Just because I don't know where this is going to go, but at the deliberative session, just to let everybody know that when I talked, Brian threw me under the bus and said, we get this $50,000, warrant article for scanning of documents. I'm going to let Tim take the heat on this one.
I thought that was pretty smooth.
Not stupid.
Anyway, in presenting it to the town and saying, yes, it's money up front, but, telling them how it all worked, and I said, but we're going to save over the long run in just staff time and legal fees and everything else. And looking around the room, all the heads were nodding, were following along and agreeing with it. And like the orange card vote was damn unanimous. So if that's any indication of the March vote, which those people at the deliberative session are usually the more fiscal hawks in town anyway, I think we might be in good shape to get that done. Okay, and another little thing, check the ballot, but Courier Road, citizens petition, they want to turn Courier Road in Candia into a scenic road. That's about it from us. So,
okay.
Good.
Well, the Diamond Hill Bentley Circle, he's advertising its luxury living in a country setting, optional attached and detached ADUs to meet all life's needs. Now there's 9 homes. Now you add, that's an ADU, there's another. And an additional extended. So the attached, they have to have an attached before they can do an extended, right. A detached.
No.
They can do a detached before... So is that was the old one that they could have done?
The attached is by right, but the other one isn't by right.
Well, no, the first one's by right, whether it's attached or detached.
It used to be attached.
It had to be, yeah.
But they can do a house and then a detached ADU without an attachment.
Right. But they cannot do 2 detached ADUs.
Right.
They do 2 one-house.
And it has to be a special exception with ZBA, right?
To get the second one, right. Yes.
So... can he advertise that on his sign? Because isn't it I know that we had talked about this and we're just, now we have it on the books that the developer needs to let us know ahead of time. Well, he's been there. We haven't signed yet off on the final plans because he's still looking, waiting for permits. Is that correct? The Mylar isn't signed?
We're doing the finishing touches right now. We should have it within the next week.
Okay. So is that still okay that he can advertise those houses? It's not something that we even thought of as a neighborhood going, why now we're going to have 3 families, or they could rent out It could be a VRBO, Airbnb, their ADU, on a 3-acre, some of them barely 3 acres, whether that's even possible in some of those housing lots with water and septic, with the ledge that's there and the wetlands.
They still have to get those approved.
They still have to get them approved.
Those still are required.
Yeah.
Getting water up on that hill is going to be
water and sewage.
Yeah.
Because your well, how deep is your well? 1,000?
Ours is not 1,000, 800.
800, right.
And that guy next door is 1,000.
Right. I knew one of them was 1,000.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre that he's advertising it that way because, you know, it makes a potential home buyer say, oh, I'm going to really make out, not realizing the water issues, the ledge, the slopes.
They're
going
to get approval for all that stuff, and not to mention that that ADU is going to cost them another $200,000
$250,000. Oh, more than that.
Yeah, I would say a lot more than that. Like a little home.
I was going to say more like five.
Wow, I don't know what to tell you except false advertising?
In terms of the plans, I mean, well, I guess it's unfortunate for Diamond Hill, but this brought our attention to the fact that we didn't require that in our regulations, which we now do. We didn't think of, oh crap.
The thing is, it's a state law, so we couldn't stop it. All we do is require that they notify us if they're going to do it.
Right. So there's no way around the fact that he could put, even if we said you can't put an ADU, and the state law says he can, so there's nothing we could do to stop that.
That's an easy appeal process.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let's play devil's advocate here. Is sewer and all that permit with the state?
Right.
With the water. Now they get it. Now does he got to put it in as just 9 homes, or does he got to put it in as he's advertising 9 homes plus ADUs?
Well, as soon as the permit is pulled to do the ADU, he would have to demonstrate that there is enough water source, and he can do sewer
and drainage
and drainage
and drainage
for that, for yeah, septic, all of that.
Remember that septic is defined by number of bedrooms.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. So if you have a 2-bedroom house and you add 2 bedrooms, if you don't have a septic system that's designed to have a 4-bedroom house, you can't build those 2 bedrooms.
I don't know how...
Unless you put a whole new septic system in, which
correct
would be problematic for most of those locations because there isn't that many square feet. Like several of those barely meet the 1.5 acres, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's...
So that becomes part of the land use while the building inspector's
correct. Correct. He has to ensure that they have water and that they have sewage to support.
When they come in, we might want to point that out to him. We notice his sign says that, and you recognize all of these caveats that go around that. Does that have an asterisk?
No.
I mean, he's a builder. He understands those issues.
But Linda, in terms of the plans that we get for a subdivision like this being built on spec, because these are all spec houses that he's going to build for people, mm-hmm. we don't have site plans for those. We'll have like a FPO for placement only.
Okay.
You know, this is kind of where we think the house is going to be.
Right.
And it's a lighter gray, and this is where we think the driveway is possibly going to go.
Oh, so planning means just a whole neighborhood itself, like, but nothing with the houses, what is set up.
Right, and so it varies. Like when we did Logan, that's a condominium association. Right. So yes, every unit,
yeah, they get
that location
two or three
is specified.
Style units, and
okay.
that's, you get to choose which one.
Right, but yeah. their locations are specified
right.
on the plans that we But if you're doing a subdivision of properties
and
you're building
spec
houses.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, in septic, it's going to kind of design where the house goes.
Right.
Yeah, and then how many can go in there.
Right.
So I was curious, we don't, given you know, the whole Tanglewood thing, kind of throw something else in there, like Diamond Hill Road's a smaller road. So right now, if you add an ADU to every one of those, the traffic count bumps
36.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
36.
That will. I don't envision that happening.
I don't either. Because from what I'm seeing from the ADUs that are being built around, they cost as much as the house,
right.
And the tax is just as much. It doubles your tax, so it's not very economical in
no,
the end.
It's not a cheap way to go, but it's convenient maybe for that group.
Exactly. Yeah. So
yeah. I'd be surprised if he had more than like two houses with an ADU or three maybe. But yeah, no, this is the thing that, you know, I had an aha moment when I heard he was going to put ADUs in. I was like, crap. We booted that one, guys. We didn't put that in the requirements.
All right. We'll survive.
But again, I don't envision more than one or two, maybe lots max having an ADU, because the cost, people don't realize that the cost is really
like a
prohibitive.
House.
Yeah. Now, if you built a garage and you got space over the garage and you want to turn that into an ADU, that's a reasonably priced rental.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a $7,500,000 reno to put a bathroom and a kitchen and stuff like that in. But you start pouring foundations and heating systems and everything else, it...
I mean, the other thing is that this is advertising, right? You throw everything, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The kitchen sink, everything.
Promise the world.
Yes, deliver nothing.
You're going to get what you
need. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, can only hope.
Yeah, I know. Keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, because, I mean, I do agree. If worst case, there's three units in the lot, Diamond Hill would get overrun with traffic.
Okay, so say he goes and with the state permits, and it's only for one house per lot. Mm-hmm. Water and septic. Then they want to put on an ADU. Who's going to catch it?
Richard. Who's going to pull a permit?
We're going to have to keep an eye on it.
Well, Rich didn't even know he had a sign up until I went and sold him.
Right.
I drove down. I'm like, gee, this is... I remember I came in. I'm like, is everything all final? Because he's advertising now.
Right.
It's funny, put a sign on a road that has no traffic. But you want, like, just right? It's like you already have a house.
Yeah.
It's a dead end road.
It's a dead end road. That gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah. That was marketing dollars.
Well, he's got another one. That's probably going to go down the end of the street eventually.
Yeah.
But I have another question. Current use. So when it comes out, a developer has bought something that's in current use, and now they have to pay the taxes. Now that's going to be housing. Where does the tax money go? Does it go to the general fund with the selectmen, or does it get split up?
It's just back taxes.
Oh, okay. So
because it's basically you're deferring your tax bill over a number of years, and that's why you get with the 10% penalty at the end.
Okay.
When you pull it out.
And the conservation,
conservation gets a percentage.
The conservation commission used to get 100% because land that was in open space is now being developed, so it made sense, and the state set it up that way that it would go to the conservation commission because now they can protect what land is still available and not developed. But over the years, our town has taken it away, like you only get 25% of it, whatever.
Right.
I don't know what it is right now.
I think you're right. I think it's still
25%. We don't get any money in the conservation fund to do anything with these days, which is really too bad.
So the only funding you would get is if you log it off and you get
Our town forests, we get, you know, a little bit, but that's not going to invest in anything.
No. Yeah. It was just a question from another town.
Yeah.
They're still doing 100% to the conservation.
Yeah.
Right. But
somebody
I think
it
changed. I think it is. You're right, 25%.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that come
but
back.
But that, like mine won't come due until the spring when they evaluate the house. Once they assess the house.
Okay.
Then they'll give me the bill.
So you get a double whammy, and then
I get hit all the way around. Because
it's not just the value of the land; it's the value of what you've done with the
it's
land.
It's what I took out, what I've taken out of current use, what I developed.
Right.
Comes out of the bigger number.
Yeah.
And then it's assessed value put on that, and then I pay the penalty.
But you pay 10% of what the house's value is too?
No,
or just the property.
Just the property.
Just the property
that I took
that's
out
being
of
taken
current
out.
Use.
Good, yeah. That, what you said at first. I
thought. Oh no!
No.
Holy
no.
Crap.
No. Okay.
So if they say the land is worth 200K and you take out 10% of it, that's 20K. And you take the, you owe the taxes on that 20K?
Yeah, I have to pay, you know, 20 grand penalty.
It's only for one year, right?
It's not. Yeah, it's just one shot.
One time.
One shot that you get.
Okay.
Now you're taking
that. He doesn't pay taxes on the 10%. Okay. The tax is the 10% of the property value.
Right.
Yeah. That's the penalty.
But okay, but if you only take 10%, say if you have 200 acres and you take 20 acres out, and that 20 acres is valued at
whatever the value they put on that, yeah.
Then you pay the tax on that
10%
on that value.
Right.
10% of whatever that value is.
Okay. All right.
So it's just a flat 10% penalty.
Okay.
It's not a tax, it's a penalty.
Got it.
Because you took that out of current use.
It's like taking money from a 401k. Prematurely.
Yeah, because you've benefited all these years by not paying taxes on it, so now you're going to get hit with basically like a
back tax.
The whammy.
Okay. Thanks.
Motion to adjourn?
Nope, not yet.
Oh,
got one shorty.
Okay.
If you all remember the meeting we had with DOT over to the school about the change in the intersection over here and all that, I've scheduled through Amy to get DOT back in here because they said they wanted to meet with the Board of Selectmen. So they'll be coming to the Board of Selectmen meeting sometime after town meeting, sometime hopefully in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've asked Amy to reach out to specific people. John Stevens will be here, hopefully. DOT will be here. Some of the early players, like the Severinos, Scott Comazar, there was a few other involved in that original concept that they were working through.
Okay.
And if any of you, I've already talked to Tim, but if any of you want to be here once we schedule that meeting, it probably wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, I'd like to get back.
And basically, I want a discussion with DOT, John Stevens, and those initial players first in the Board of Selectmen, and then open it up to any public and you people, too, that have some input. But once that discussion is done and laid out, I'd be interested to hear what they came back at. They said they took all that feedback from that meeting. I'd be interested in what they come back with.
Brian, is there any way to get that in the town flyer?
Oh, no, it'll be advertised.
Okay.
It'll
because
be advertised.
I know they took a vote that night of what the people in that
auditorium took in
wanted.
In different concepts.
But I think if you got parents of school-age children involved, too, there may have been a different flavor to what was needed or wanted.
It's hard to tell. I mean, I was surprised to hear what was acceptable and what wasn't, to be honest
with
you.
Well, it was very clear that they had biased their plans and things.
Well, the state was looking at a buck.
Toward what was most cost-effective for them.
Correct.
Not what was best for our town.
Exactly. And that's the discussion that I want to have when we do this. So we'll let you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. Quick question. Sure. Who's John Stevens?
He's executive counsel.
Thank you.
And he's a key player because he has roots in Candia, so he's very heavily involved in what does happen.
Thank you.
Is he a hometown boy?
His grandparents were Trows. I don't know, near the firehouse.
Does he live on Diamond Hill? Stevens, isn't that
no.
the...
No,
that's
no,
a different
no,
Stevens.
I don't think they're related at all.
Aren't they related to Sununu's too?
Who?
Through Trow? Aren't they related to Sununu?
Sununu? I don't think so.
Didn't he marry a Trow?
John did.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve, his father, did. just to let you know, and we'll be in touch.
I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Good.
Good talk.
So
good talk.
Yeah, you're right.